This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! I'm trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, it's Friday. I'm still alive. Huge series in baseball. RJ and I both won our first football picks of the weekend. Tua, just an awful situation. Rick, let me just tell you this, my friend. At any point today, you might be on your own.
Let's not get crazy.
I'm not getting crazy. I'm being truthful. At any point, like, I don't know what that was. Already Santiago letting it go.
He's pooping.
There it is. At 5:10, at 5:30, at 6:15, at some point today, there's a decent chance. I'll attempt to make it to the commercial breaks, but I don't know.
I think you look great. Congratulations on a wonderful pick. You don't usually dabble with Thursday night football, but you had a feeling. I like it. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I think you look good.
Oh, look good.
I was expecting worse. You got your warm-up suit on, ready for the procedure.
Yeah. Procedure's not till 11:45 though this morning. I still have hours after the show to do nothing.
I think we've been supportive though. I think for the most part I've been very supportive.
No.
What do you mean no?
No. Support. So you know what? Before I attempt to rebut see what I did there. What's your definition of supportive actually?
I think I've held your hand throughout the entire process. I think.
Oh yeah. Should I let people, like, right? I mean, this is what we do, right? We let them in behind?
That's what the show is.
See what I did there?
Yeah, you're really, so this is what we're going to make. We're going to make colonoscopy jokes the whole show?
I got nothing. I like, if you told me it's Rule 76 now, I'd be like, great, thank God. Like, I got nothing.
Who's the cat now?
So, I'll let the people in. Here we go. At about, what time would you say it was, RJ and Raymond? At about, I don't know, 8:45 maybe, all throughout the day, pictures of beautiful foods, bacon, egg, and cheese, a triple-pattied burger, sushi, like a whole row of sushi rolls. I mean, what kind of animal are you? Well, really, what kind of animal are you?
Like, you couldn't eat, so I figured I would send you pictures so mentally it would feel like you were still involved with the food. But I put a lot of work into those pictures.
Probably ruined your day.
I had to cut them, copy them, paste them, edit them.
Be honest. At any point, really, Cass, I'm having trouble with this one. Can you help me out?
All three of them.
You really are.
I said, this is what I need. She said, what? I said, I need a bacon, egg, and cheese, and a good-looking one, a burger, and some sushi.
Yeah, you had like a homeless-looking bacon, egg, and cheese. You'd give it to the guy on the street and be like, I don't want this.
I said you were the meal baby. She sent me one. I was like, this isn't what I need. I was like, this got to be on a, I need a bagel. I need
bacon, egg, and cheese, and a bagel. This is fatty bacon. I didn't say roll.
He likes it crispy, Cass. Come on.
What are you doing, Cass? Oh, my God. By the way, we have the most bizarre people ever that we work with here at the station. Ever.
Well, the most bizarre person, yeah, probably.
No people. Well, who are you going to say person?
I think there's one person I would point to as the most bizarre.
Well, I'll tell you, the two that I'm thinking of now.
Mickey Stein.
And, well, yes, John Winthrop. But John, not that person I'm thinking of. Don LaGreca and Mike Brouncher. Now, everyone knows Don. Mike Brouncher is our, what does he even do? I don't know. I can't think today. He does, like, the commercials, right?
Yes.
What would be the name of that job?
I have no idea. It's
imaging director.
Imaging. Yeah, I don't want to say just commercials because he does a lot of stuff, but he's the imaging director. So I talked to him on Wednesday morning, and he's like, oh, I don't know what kind of doctor he went to, Rick. He's like, my doctor had me have a big, large breakfast the day before and a big milkshake in the afternoon. Then I took this medicine, went to the appointment, done, wasn't bad at all. I'm thinking, this is great. I got a text from Don. It's like a spa day. This is, you have nothing. And I'm thinking, boy, you know what? These guys make it sound so easy. This is wonderful. I mean, this it's awful. Now, I don't know the procedure because I haven't had that, and I won't have that till 11:45 this morning. But the prep is brutal.
Yeah, I was surprised, though, when you told us yesterday that you had already stopped eating. I didn't think you had to stop eating that far in advance.
You have to stop eating the day before. It just so happens that my day before is earlier than anybody else's day before.
Yeah, I've never heard they have the big breakfast and then a milk. Unless the, I mean,
yes.
The doctor really likes to... to get his hands dirty during the procedure. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah. I mean, today's going to be a treat. I'll tell you that.
I think you're going to be great. I can feel it.
I don't
it.
Know about that.
You look good. You're smiling. You're happy. Just 3 hours, keep your mind off it. Before you know it, you'll be...
Keep my mind off it. My stomach is pounding. You know, like you have the heartbeat in your chest? I have that in my stomach. It's pounding.
Yeah, now that I think about it, sending you pictures of food probably wasn't the nicest thing I could have done.
Oh, wasn't nice at all. All right, so we have a lot to do today. Today's a football Friday, Rick.
Yes.
A football Friday. We'll revisit our standings, but let's just realize Raymond is the only one who's alive in the Survivor, and he will make another pick until he's now eliminated.
Who cares?
You care. I care for you as well. And it's turning ugly for you in the football picks. You're 2-7 heading into the week. I mean, you better go 2-1 this week.
Yeah, I feel good about the picks this week. I should have picked the game last night, but
especially with RJ and I just standing here already on the other side of it.
I know, but then if I pick the game last night and I don't gain any ground, you know what I mean?
No, that's such a dumb way of looking at it.
I know.
Just
I told you I made a mistake.
You like the best.
I told you I made a mistake. I should have taken the Bengals like I wanted to, but then if they lost, I would have ruined my whole weekend. So I said, you know what? Take a step back, relax. I got 3 games I like still.
Okay, good. I don't think you have what it takes to pick a Thursday game.
I've picked Thursday games before, but I've been hurt in the past.
There's only so many times you don't love again. You still love.
Listen, well, maybe it takes a while sometimes. Like, why do you think Santiago doesn't have the warmth of a woman? He's not ready yet.
Well, maybe you're not ready for the Thursday game. I don't think you are. If you like the game, the fact that you're worried about catching a game on us or a point on us is just silliness.
Well, it backfired last week is what I'm telling you, is that we have a bunch of us, we had the same kind of games. RJ had some of two of the same games I had. And when he lost, I still lost, so it did me no good.
You need to worry about going 3-0. You don't need to worry about what games we pick.
That's my focus, 3-0.
Okay. I root for you.
A couple good weeks.
Well, RJ and I are already to 1-0 as we make the picks today at... what time is the show? An 8, so 7:45 in that range today. We'll do a frenzy today as well, and we're going to go around the league.
Wow, what a day.
I know, that's right. And there's a, I don't know, 50-50 chance I make it through the entire show with you. At noon, I take pills.
I think we get a bucket, and if things happen, things happen.
This is some long day, man. This is some long day. All right, so... I guess the story that we have to start with, and it was awful, and a lot of people got angry at this, and I understand why. And that's the game I thought was entertaining, but that wasn't the story. The story was Tua, and the story was the Tua injury, and it was just the unbelievable, you know, images of him getting injured and the hands curling up. And I'm watching the game with Alex, who, you know, is 12 and doesn't really know better. He goes, obviously he broke his hand. Like, no. What's happened now is his brain is having an issue, and his body is reacting to that. And for the Dolphins to put him out there after suffering and stop with this, it was a back injury on Sunday, 4 days ago. It's embarrassing.
What do you mean stop? They have to. Well, they have to. What are they going to do? Say, yeah, we lied?
I mean, I like Mike McDaniel a lot, but to come out and say...
Yeah, but don't put this on Mike McDaniel, though. This is not a Mike McDaniel issue.
This is an organization. This is a doctor. This is all of it.
This is an NFL issue, too.
I mean, this is awful for the NFL, for the Dolphins, from top to bottom here, that guy was on the field last night.
Yeah, well, this is why they have independent people that are supposed to be in charge of the concussion protocol. Is because when left up to the team or left up to the player, they make bad decisions. Last night was exactly why the cliche, protect the athlete, sometimes we have to protect you from you, exists. Because that's Those are the kind of decisions that, if left up to us, we make. Concussions are tough, man. I'm telling you. Haven't been through a bunch of them. Had my first early one, came back way too soon. Then having post-concussion because the second one, it's a weird place to be. It's not one of those injuries where you walk around with a limp or you can, like, guys start to look at you a little bit different. Like, hey, come on, we need you. Let's go. And you feel the pressure. Tua's in a big season for Tua. We're trying to prove to everyone that he's the guy. I mean, they've tried to get rid of him how many times?
A number,
right? And one of the reasons why is because he can't stay healthy. He's hurt. All the different things you've heard about Tua. And the team, I'll say the team, because ultimately in the NFL, put him in a spot on short rest Thursday night football where he gets thrown to the ground and what could have been a minor concussion the first one turned into what looked like a real major concussion last night.
It was awful. I mean, to watch it, and I don't know if it felt like this for you, like it marred the game for me.
Well, like we talk about this all the time, right? We watch the MMA stuff. Like we've seen how many gruesome injuries, like legs break, ankles break. Nothing to me is worse than when you watch a guy that goes out and he stiffens up like that. Like you can tell like he's out. His hands, you know what I mean? Like you see the whole body stiffens
up. I've seen where like the arm kind of goes rigid and that's upsetting. This to me was just different. Like I don't know that I've ever seen the hands like that. Like it looked like a deformity the way the hands just clenched up and clawed up. It was terrible to watch.
Yeah, it's gross. He is. And I hope, I mean, he flew back to Miami, which surprises
which
me.
Which shocks me.
I thought at the very least they'd keep him in Cincinnati just for observation over the night. But, yeah, this is not a great look for the NFL, and it's not a great look for Miami.
So it's awful for the NFL. It's awful for the organization. It marred the game. And you know what? Truthfully, you'll get to 1 o'clock or not even 9:30 in the morning because there's a Sunday morning game this week, which we start with. And yeah, you'll remember it, but it won't affect you.
No, it won't affect you, but I think you understand. Like, I mean, it's you understand why it's so important, though, and why every league is supposed to be taking head injuries so seriously because of what you saw last night.
But you knew they weren't. Like, you saw it on Sunday.
Well, how many times have you heard wide receivers say this? Right? They changed the rules about going over the middle, defenseless receiver. And you had a bunch of guys going down now with knee injuries because guys were going low to avoid the head. And you had wide receivers that would come out and say, no, I would much rather hit me in the head. I come back from a concussion. If you blow my knee out, that affects me, my career long term. Because in the moment, you don't understand the long-term effect these head injuries are having on you until years after you're done. And now Tua's got, I mean, this is my personal opinion, okay? This is me having gone through this. I think you agree with me. First one, even if his back was seized up, the way he was wobbling, shaking his head after he got hit the first time, that was a concussion.
Obviously it was.
Okay. So what happens now when you have the first concussion and you come back too soon, it's much easier to get the second concussion and the effects can last much longer. So now he has two concussions in a matter of 4 days?
Yep. Sunday to Thursday, correct.
So, I mean, now what could have been, okay, Tua, let's understand you had a concussion. We're not going to pretend like it's a back, and we'll give you this week, see how you feel, and then hopefully you'll be back. Now you've gone two concussions, 4 days. Now who knows how long this one lasts?
Well, and who trusts that they're going to make the right decision, too?
Well, I don't think, I mean, if...
And does the NFL now get involved? Like, is the league involved already. In these concussions?
They're supposed to be involved in these concussions. They were involved letting him back into the game on Sunday. Like, there is supposed to be an independent doctor that is at these games that, I mean, you've seen it I've seen it a couple different times where a guy's woozy on his feet and whistle blows and he gets called back to go into concussion protocol and to get tested. And it was clear when Tua did it the first time that there was something wrong. And he
obviously went
back, concussion protocol, and then it, for some reason,
he's right back in.
I guess he passed his tests. He's back in the game.
Right back in. Or maybe he didn't pass his test. Or maybe they, I mean, you've said this to me years and years now, is that maybe they ask you questions that are so obvious and easy that anyone can get them right.
But that's the interesting
thing. Am I holding up fingers?
Well,
right?
No. Yeah. But that, I think we're past that point. But even then, like, there are still, Like, I've had concussions where I go down and I went with, like, a couple minutes later, I feel like, okay, I'm all right. And you could ask me questions and I could be coherent and answer your questions and could probably pass a concussion test. But that, I mean, at that point, you're like, you're hoping that your team doctor, your trainers are protecting you. Like, no, listen, we saw what happened. We saw how you reacted when you got hit. Let's be smart here. Let's not try to push this thing.
Feels like the NFL is rarely on the safe side. It's always on playing, get out there. And we're all culprits of wanting it. But boy, you watched something like that last night. It is jarring and it is really tough to watch.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How about my Bengals last night, huh?
I mean, how about you? I didn't even realize you roared after you picked Roar! Let's go Bengals.
You didn't realize I roared? I had to roar.
Roar!
I mean, who's the cat now?
Roar! Who's the cat now?
Right?
Yes. What a pick you made. Great job.
Yeah, RJ as well.
I feel like he felt like he made a good pick, so he just jumped on board with it.
You think so? And our degenerate gambler of the station, our APD, John Winthrop, when I made that pick, sent an immediate text. Great pick. Solid pick. Terrific
pick,
job.
Dave. Great pick. Loved it.
Yeah, he was right, as if I didn't have any idea what I was doing. Now I got John's vote of confidence. Whew, now I'm in.
He's the real pro.
He really is.
I just
is.
Wanted to assure you that you did good. You did good, kid.
Thank you. That's wonderful. All right, so we're lining up callers. We have a lot to get into. Of course, the Yankees, Mets with a monster series starting tonight. It's what, DeGrom tonight? Is it Scherzer tomorrow? Or Scherzer's on Sunday.
Scherzer's on Sunday.
So it's DeGrom, Bassett, Scherzer.
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrific, huh?
Yeah, tonight sounds terrific. I can't wait.
Except you're going up against Max Fried, and this idea that you're just going to go down there and waltz through, you know, Atlanta is just silly.
Well, I don't think anyone said that, but I'm hoping that after a start the last we saw Jacob DeGrom, it wasn't good. So I'm hoping that's out of his system, and now he's pissed and is just lights out.
I'm hopeful for that as well. Now, I know you heard this, and this is exciting. Francisco Alvarez was called up by the Mets, their number one prospect.
I did hear that.
I'm assuming that he's going to play tonight.
Well, it would make sense.
Against the lefty, right?
Against the lefty. Scherzer's pitching Saturday, by the way.
Is that because I heard Kay was having this conversation and Don looked on MLB.com and it gave a different take than Kay had. So are we sure Scherzer's pitching Saturday?
I'm looking at it right now. It says, this is on ESPN. It says Scherzer versus Kyle Wright on Saturday.
And then the Sunday matchup is what? Bassett against, do you know who?
Morton.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, I mean, the Braves are good, man.
The Braves are really good. I mean, look at their lineup.
Their lineup is better than the Mets.
Probably.
Yeah, I think definitively no, especially with Marte not being here.
Well, especially without Marte. But again, isn't that the reason why winning the division for us is so important? Because, our biggest strength is our pitching staff. And if
yes,
we don't
and you
have
want
that
them
set
rested
up,
and whole 100%.
That's why that's so important.
100%. Are you, what's your feel on this? Are you excited? Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Like, what is your feeling heading into the series?
I'm anxious. I am anxious. I'm excited. I'm anxious.
Confident?
I am confident. I am.
You know, I will say this. Not that I've ever wanted to jump ship, and I think I've been good for the most part this year. I've had moments where I felt it really teetering, and every time I've had that moment, I feel like you've just had nothing but don't worry, it's going to be fine.
Well, there have been times when it has been teetering, but they've answered the bell. So, I mean, they've given me no reason not to believe
correct
that they'll do that in this.
And now they have wiggle room, because now one of three is not catastrophic.
No, but I said this the other day when you were having a mini nervous breakdown about it.
What? Which one? After they lost game one to the Marlins?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we both just assumed, because I thought that they would win that second game against Miami, and I just assumed that Atlanta would win because that's all Atlanta does, and we go into the series would be tied. But listen, I mean, this is not having Marte is a huge loss. We all understand that. I get it. But you've set yourself up to be in this spot. And forget the 10.5 game lead on June 1st. We're at where we're at. And it's not because we fell apart. Yeah, there's some games that we would have, you know, liked to have back against bad teams. But Atlanta's played like one of the best teams in baseball. So my feeling was always, you put yourself in a spot, it's a 3-game series, and you have your three best pitchers lined up for the series. Now, go get the job done.
Go get the job done. And you've made the job a lot easier getting that good fortune from Washington the other night.
Yes.
So I agree with you, actually. I feel, I don't want to say bullish. I think that's too strong. I feel confident in the Mets this weekend.
It just feels like the Mets raised their level of play accordingly.
I think that that's exactly what they've done. You look what they've done against the Braves this year. You look what they've done against the Dodgers this year. Like, against the good teams, they play their best baseball. It's a sign of a really good team.
Yeah, a really good team, a really mature team that understands what's at stake here. Because they all know that they have a really good opportunity to win a championship. And the best way to get there is to win your division. Like, I mean, just think about the level of confidence you would have. Like, you've already played most of the season like one of the best teams in baseball. And now you're in a spot where you got, when he's right, the best pitcher in baseball tonight.
Correct. But last time you saw him, he was bad.
Which is fine. Get it out of the way. Listen, as long as it's not tonight, get the one stinker out of the way, and now we move forward.
All right. I'm excited, man. So what are you? Are you dual televisions tonight? Because you got the Yankees on Amazon, then you got the Mets on SNY.
Well, no. I'm glad you brought that up. Yankees are going to be also on Yes tonight.
Oh, they're on both?
On both. Yes, Amazon worked out a deal with Yes, so they will have it on, you can stream it or you can watch it on Yes.
Oh, that's nice. So, yes. All right, so that really plays into our favor then.
Yes. Well, or you'll have to sit in the doorway.
No. That's not, because I don't think by tonight, I think I'm going to be just a mess, right? I'll be so tired. I barely slept. I've been, you know, losing fluids like you know, someone on a stranded island. I think tonight I'm going to be all Mets and then follow the Yankees game on my phone. And when Judge comes up, flip over. That's it. I don't care about the Yankees game.
Well, why not just put the Yankees game on the other television so then when you know...
Well, because I want to watch the game from bed if I need to tell you.
Oh, okay. So, well, but what if... Yeah, that probably makes sense.
I'd like to watch the game from bed, and that way I'll watch the Mets, and then when I get an alert that Judge is coming up, I'll flip over to Yes.
Yeah, I like that plan.
See if he gets a 62, and if not, then boom, back to the Mets. Because the Yankees game outside of Judge has no juice at all.
Him trying to hit 62 is the juice. Yeah.
That's the only thing. At least for me, I don't care if the Yankees win or not. Doesn't matter. They have the second seed all clinched up. So, right?
Yeah, they're set, man. I mean, they're gonna have to just figure out what they're gonna do with their lineup, And we're going to set up their rotation.
We have no idea really who they're going to play, right? We know it's going to be Cleveland against, I guess, somebody. We don't even know who that somebody's going to be right now.
They will, yeah, they will play the winner of Cleveland and...
You have no idea.
Seattle or, it looks like Seattle or Tampa.
So Toronto is how far? Toronto is what, two games in the loss column ahead?
Toronto has a two-game lead, and then Tampa...
But only one over Seattle. Right? Seattle's 85 and 70?
Yeah, and Toronto's got two more wins. They're 87 and 69.
Right. So, yes, most likely to be Cleveland or Seattle or Toronto. Most Tampa. Likely. Tampa?
No, the Yankees play the winner of the three, which is the central
or the
winner,
six?
Or the six.
Which is Tampa. So it probably won't be Toronto. So it'll probably be Tampa A or Seattle B.
Yeah.
Right. And I like the Yankees in any of those series.
Okay.
You don't feel as confident?
I'm not as confident, no. I mean, I thought it was, earlier in the season, I thought it was a foregone conclusion that it would be Yankees in the CS against Houston, and whoever, we were just fighting over who would have home field. And then injuries and everything else, Yankees go on the slide, and now, I don't know, man. I mean, you're in a spot where who's closing games, right? Like, who's closing games?
Yeah,
who's
no, I don't know. It's a good question. Yankees lose in that first series, and this season is just an epic failure.
Epic failure.
Epic failure. I don't know what's happening, so you guys can correct me. Did I do the close to Straight Talk or no?
No.
Oh, well, that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract. And no compromise. I'm having shooting pains in my stomach at the moment, so I wasn't sure what was
happening. It's your stomach, yeah. It's your stomach has quit.
DPH Rothenberg also presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Why don't we get to a call or two? Let's go to Brian in Milburn. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. I'm sorry about your predicament, Dave. But I have a big problem. I was listening to Michael Kay yesterday, Rick. And he keeps saying about Gerrit Cole, oh, he's such a horse, and oh, he's this, and he's, I love his stuff. Cole sucks, man. go wrong, he give up 2-3 home runs, man. It's crazy. Am I wrong?
No, I don't know how he defends Gerrit Cole. I mean, listen, I think he's a horse in the fact that every fifth day he takes the ball, and he's going to get you through most days six innings, and he'll blow by 100 pitches. But confidence in a big spot, no, to me at least, that lacks.
Yeah, but I think that was, I didn't hear it, but I mean, Gerrit Cole, the one really positive thing about him is he's there, he's available every fifth day.
Yeah, but how good is he?
He's got, see, that's the crazy part about it though, man. You watch him pitch, he's got good stuff.
Like, I know stuff he's got good nasty. Stuff. So what is it then? It's mental?
I don't know if it's mental. I don't know. I think, yeah, no, I know it's mental. I think there's a lot of it that's mental. But I also think, too, like, it's just, I was talking to someone the other day about this, and when you watch him throw, especially his fastball, and how good guys are now because everyone throws so hard, like, it's, a lot of them are, the ones he gets hurt on are middle of the plate and they're straight. It's, like, straight, like that, like, when he used to pitch, in, like, I remember watching him pitch in Houston, and he used to have that ride to his fastball, like, and it was, like, it's tough to square. I mean, 98, 99 with that kind of ride up in the zone, it's tough to square that up. Now it's straight. Like, it's straight. His balls are straight. They show the spray chart of his home runs, and a lot of pitches just right in the middle of the plate.
And a lot of home runs.
He's giving up 32 home runs.
A lot too many. And at least, I don't know if you feel like this, I feel like every time he takes the mound, even if he's great for five, in the six, it's going to get away. If he starts out slow, then he'll get better. Like it's the same song and dance. It's going to be six innings plus of three or four runs and in a big spot, a home run. Like that seems to me like that's his MO.
It feels like, yeah, like there'll be that inning where things kind of spiral out of control.
Yeah, whether it's the first or the fifth or the sixth or whatever.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It set you up so beautifully for the weekend when you.
Because even if we go 1-1, we're like the Mets. Like RJ, now if we go 1-1 on these picks later today, we still have a winning week.
Yeah, I don't know how much I want to put out there though. I don't know how. I'm still reticent.
You're what?
Reticent.
Reticent.
Well, reticent. You mean?
That's what I said, reticent.
I heard reticent.
I did too.
Well, reticent.
Uh-huh. I heard reticent. You know what, Rick? You'll never hear that again.
No, that thing's done. How
gone?
No, that thing's gone.
Gone. Never happened.
Never happened.
They scored nine runs in the first inning.
That's right.
I love how you guys are taking enjoyment in my struggles today.
You were sending me pictures of cheeseburgers yesterday.
I was mentally feeding you.
I got news for you, pal. You can't mentally eat.
Well, maybe it satiates your mind. Pavlov's dog.
It didn't. Can I speak words?
I'm still reticent.
It was reticent.
I'm still reticent. Yeah, maybe you're right.
What do you mean, maybe?
It's a dialect.
It's a mispronunciation.
Listen, it is. I think it's still a reach given some of the other things that have happened.
They scored nine runs in the first inning.
Let me hear it again.
I'm still reticent.
You said reticent.
That's right. I agree.
So stop with the it pales in comparison. It's a foible from you.
True.
Frick's price.
It's not that. mine is a fumble where my knee was almost down. Yours is a Jimmy Garoppolo incident, I think.
Yeah, but your knee wasn't down.
It was almost.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, true.
All right. Mr. Rutter.
I love the word foible is a great word.
Thank you.
Well done today.
Thank you. Especially where words are not coming as generously as they typically do. Do you have that today where it's like you're trying to say stuff and you're like, boy, what is that word?
Yeah, there's a big time disconnect.
Maybe I just don't talk today.
Maybe that's it.
That makes it difficult to do radio. You have a laundry list of drops, huh?
Maybe I go swig some NyQuil now. Maybe I switch it up and I'm just out. See ya.
How much do you think you could drink of that stuff before you just fell asleep?
Let's want to find out.
I don't think that's a fun game to play.
I think it'd be a great game to play. How many shots of NyQuil can you add before it's like, Rick?
Would you like to give up? Do I get VIP prizes if I win?
We're doing night-night juice now?
what's win? Is continuing to do the show till 8 o'clock winning, or is falling asleep at 6:30 winning?
Well, it depends on how you define winning.
Yeah, that's my question. I don't know what winning is.
I would say if I get through the show, would be winning.
That's very nice. Uh-oh. Your three picks locked away, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. 1-800-919-3776.
Bang, bang, bang.
Let's get into the Giants. Bobby in Saratoga. Bobby, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Shout out to the company. I just wanted to get into the fact that, you know, as much as it hurt on Monday the way the Giants lost to the Cowboys, I think it actually tempers the expectations for us as fans and how we look at the team going forward. I just want them to be competitive as we go into December and just at least be alive in the playoff race at that point.
I don't know if you'll see that, to be honest. Some of these games I think you looked at, you're like, oh, that's such a winnable game. Like Jacksonville and Detroit are not nearly as winnable as I thought they once were. And I got to be honest, thanks for the call, Bobby. I don't know, Rick, how talented this Giants team is. Like, I think they've done a lot with good coaching and kind of smoke and mirrors through the first three games.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Saquon Barkley's had a good start to the season.
Great start to the season.
And he's very talented.
Very talented.
But to the caller's point, yeah, I mean, there are things that this team needs to clean up. If they're going to, I mean, the games that you mentioned, now, I think they should beat Chicago. I would be disappointed. If I was a Giants fan and we lost to Chicago, I would be disappointed.
If you lose this game to Chicago, you should be very disappointed. They can't throw the ball. They don't have a lot of weapons. Their starting running back is not there. Like, there's no excuse for not winning this game on Sunday. I agree with that.
No, and the only quarterback that gets pressured more than your quarterback is Justin Fields. Right? Like, it's Justin Fields, then Daniel Jones.
Correct.
So, I mean,
maybe Thibodeau has a game on Sunday.
Well, maybe. I mean, they're back. Ojulari, Thibodeau. Maybe we find a way to get some pressure on the quarterback, make mistakes.
Which they really haven't done in the first three games.
But offensive line still concerns you. Evan Neal wasn't very good. And maybe that's just because of, you know, Dallas's defense is good. DeMarcus Lawrence is good. But, yeah, see, the Giants, you get out to a 2-0 start. Everyone gets excited. I understand that. You should be excited. The NFC is not great, but, I mean, now you lose Sterling Shepard. Leonard Williams is dealing with injury. It's just there's only so much you can take because you're not a team that's flush with talent.
Correct.
You can sustain injuries like this.
You don't have tons of talent.
No.
Ipso facto, as someone would say, you need your players to play at a high level, right? And I don't know, you know, Wandell Robinson's going to be out. Looks like Kadarius Toney's still going to be out. So We'll see. Again, you're right, though. There's no excuse for not beating the Bears on Sunday.
No, I think this is at home. Yeah, you got to take advantage of this one.
No excuse. Cullum in the Bronx. Good morning, Cullum.
Good morning, David, Rick, RJ, Ray, the whole company. How are we doing this morning?
You got a little sing-song to your voice this morning, Cullum.
Yeah, I mean, you get me going with all these songs and stuff. It gets me excited. I'm not there to contribute, but you know, I think about it and it gets it right at the tip of my tongue. But I'm not ready yet.
To what do you mean you're not ready to what?
To sing? I think he wants to sing. Yeah.
You want to sing, Cullum?
Yeah, I want to, but maybe
it goes
after.
On and on and on and on.
If you were to sing, Cullum, what song would you go with? Do you think?
Probably Staying Alive.
Staying Alive. I like that.
Yeah.
You don't want to give us a little bit of Staying Alive this morning? It's a Football Friday, Cullum.
Let's post Bears game, Giants win, I got you.
Come on.
Staying Alive.
Staying alive.
There you go, Cullum.
Nice, Cullum. Nice.
Very well done. Very well done. You done? You got more?
No. All right. Let's just.
Oh no, Santiago will play the music for the next 3 minutes.
He's got 28 seconds he can use.
Okay.
All right. What do you got on the Giants, Cullum?
Giants game this week is, like you guys said, very winnable. You know, the first and foremost, they have to stop that running game. You do get a lot of pressure on their quarterback. Their offensive line is not that good, but they also don't throw the ball a lot. So the opportunities are not going to be there. I think he has the least throws so far, throwing attempts in the league so far in the first three games. So the opportunities are not going to be there. So the number one thing is stop that running game, slow down the running game, put the ball in Justin Fields' hands. And I think the Giants, the only thing they really need on offensive, if they can slow down their other team's offense, you know, 18, 20 points wins this game.
Probably so. And thanks for the call, Cullum. See, I was upset on Tuesday morning because the Giants lost to the Cowboys, right? That bothered me. And then I had to deal with Santiago, and it's the Cowboys. And I thought they could have won that game. But I wasn't that upset because I think Dallas is probably a more talented team. There's not a lot of teams, Rick, that I look at and say, the Giants have more talent than this team on Sunday might be one of those teams. You need to win this game.
You need to win this game. And I understand why you were frustrated. It's Monday night. Everyone's watching. Santiago's a big-time Cowboys fan. You went to the game, so you should be upset. But this is, again,
nasty the next morning.
I mean, Giants have scored zero touchdowns in the first half. I think that should change, hopefully.
9 points, right?
9 points. If I were to ask you right now, here's a little nugget for you. Could you tell me, how many yards do the New York Giants average a game passing? Team not flush with wide receiver talent.
No,
how many yards per game?
I'm going to say on average, what was their second game? Their second game was Carolina. Wasn't a huge. I'm going to say 173.
173. That's a pretty damn good guess. They're 162.3 yards per game. Yards per game do the Chicago Bears average passing a game?
139 78
78.
Well, you got to take into account that first game though, where you couldn't throw the ball.
I know. It's just, I mean, it's,
yeah, 78 is jarring.
Yes, jarring.
78 is, it really is jarring.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you want me to go Zen? What do you think? I'm Phil Jackson? I can't, you can't just control rumblings.
Power of positivity. You're good. You're fine. You can do it. Breathe. At this point, it must be just water anyway. It doesn't.
It's matter. All it is.
All right. So who cares?
Because if that's what...
I'm just out here cleaning the poopy.
I'll buy you a new seat.
Let's go to Angel on the highway. Angel, good morning. You're next up.
Hey, good morning, boys.
What's up, Angel?
Question. Do you think the Giants should be running the ball at least between 32 times to 35 times per game?
It's a lot of running. It feels a little unreal. Are you including quarterback runs in that?
Yeah, I think you have question. To. I think you have to.
If you're including quarterback runs, then yeah, I guess 32 is within a reason.
Yeah, and I think the other way to protect your offensive line is in your quarterback is to run the ball, or at least the threat of the run. Right? I mean,
and you can tell that they're not afraid to use him in running the ball.
No, because it's been effective for them. I mean,
you don't want him to get hurt, but if he gets hurt, I mean, that's your best chance to win.
No, but here's the thing, though. I always hate these conversations, and I get why you have the conversation because you're trying to keep your starting quarterback healthy. But if that's what makes him your starting quarterback, then he has to do those things. Like Daniel Jones, if he doesn't do those things with his legs, is just a guy. Right? Like Daniel Jones is not, he's not going to just sit in the pocket and pick you apart. That's not who he is.
No. Especially with this offensive line.
Exactly right. Exactly right. What makes him someone that you could, now a lot of people have their minds made up. But if he were ever to ascend to the point this season where you felt comfortable with him being your franchise quarterback, a lot of that would be because of his athleticism and his ability to use his legs. That would be part of it, the entire package. Like, he needs to be able to do those things. Like, he needs, what did he rush for, what, 7 first downs?
Yeah,
against
he had
the Cowboys?
A great rushing game against Dallas, yes.
Like, that's something that he needs to do and do well.
You know what I don't think they did a lot against Dallas? We'll get to the Jets in a moment.
Throw the ball to Saquon?
They didn't do that enough, but they didn't do a lot of RPOs where he kept it and ran with it.
Where who, Saquon kept it or he kept
no,
it?
No, where Jones kept it and ran with it.
Well, no, there was a couple of them when he went straight up, or that wasn't an RPO, where he would just, the things would open up in the middle, yeah, QB draws, and he would just take them off.
QB draws, yes, but I'm talking about like an RPO where he puts it in Saquon's belly.
I know,
and then,
I'm aware what an RPO is, yeah.
Well, you started analyzing it and told me I was wrong.
No, but he was the...
Many.
Yeah, okay.
Right? It's okay.
Well, they have right now, currently, as we stand here today, looking towards this game, they have two real offensive weapons. Saquon and Daniel Jones, that's it.
And Daniel Jones, I don't think, yes, I guess, for the way they use him, but he's not, I don't even know what he is.
Well, I think Daniel Jones is, I mean, he's a dual threat kind of quarterback.
Yeah, he's good. He's fine. He's serviceable, I guess I would say, right?
Well, we're not going to sit here and pretend like he runs like Lamar or he runs like Jalen Hurts or someone like that, but
he's certainly athletic. There's no doubt about it. He's definitely an athletic quarterback. All right, let's spend a couple minutes on the Jets, and then we'll get over to going around the league. How are you feeling about this game? I'm anxious because my thought is Zach Wilson getting thrown into the fire, had almost no preseason, hasn't played in weeks, offensive line's a mess, and maybe it's unfair of me to think like this, but that's how I feel about the Jets coming into this week.
I would say I'm more nervous than anxious with this one. Like, I'm anxious because I'm excited for the Mets game tonight. I'm more nervous.
You have a bad feeling about this?
Well, no, it's not a bad feeling. It's just not, it's not an ideal situation. And then yesterday we got the clip circling around with, you know, Jeff Ulbrich criticizing, or apparently, who knows, with the Quinnen Williams stuff.
Well, I think that was criticizing, no?
I do, too. Well, there were some people that didn't think it was criticism, but that's a tough spot, man. And there's not going to be an easy spot, right? There's not going to be an easy spot. But having only played in two series in the preseason, coming off a knee injury, not getting much work. I mean, this is, and going to Pittsburgh to play.
You know what'll help?
Offensive line, that's a mess.
You know what'll help? Run the football. Come out there and run that football down their throats. And even if you wind up in 3rd and 5, run the football. Do not put Zach in a situation where he has to win this game early.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the things, and we've talked about this a couple different times, when Brian Daboll got this job and they asked him about, you know, his plans for Daniel Jones, and one of the first things he said was that it's his job to protect him from you know, from making mistakes. Like that's how you're going to limit some of these turnovers. I'm not going to put him in spots to do it. I'm going to protect him from himself. You're right. Like, because Zach said it again the other day. I'm going to play the way I play. And we all understand what that means. So don't put him in a lot of spots where he can get himself in trouble or put himself in a spot where he's going to make a mistake or get himself hurt again.
Because don't you envision, I mean, Pittsburgh's not going to score 31 points, right? No, Pittsburgh's going to score 17, 20, maybe if they have a good offensive game, 23. So it's not like you shouldn't be chasing points the entirety of the game. If that's within a score, even if it's not, I mean, and again, the Giants are no great shakes, but I'm just saying, remember the opening game trailing 13-0 at the half? Giants never abandoned the running game. The Jets need to run the football.
Yeah, I understand that. No one thought that Joe Flacco would have 155 pass attempts.
Way too many.
It's way too many.
I don't want to show up on Monday morning and have Zach Wilson was, 26 of 49 on Sunday.
No, but I mean, how about we don't get down immediately in the game where we're chasing as usual?
And again, it's not like you're going up against, who have you gone up against so far? Week one, who did they play week one? Oh, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, we've had the Ravens.
Week two was Brissett, and you won that game.
It was Cleveland, and then we had
And then
Cincinnati.
You had Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky is certainly not a great quarterback.
I understand that. But also, too, I'll say this, is that if he's still an NFL quarterback and they got good, I mean, they have a good running back, they have a really good tight end, they got really good wide receivers. If you continue to have breakdowns and you continue to make mistakes and you take dumb penalties, I don't care who the quarterback is. You're not,
well,
you're,
whose
you're
fault
not
is that?
Good enough.
Whose fault is that? You just said it, and I want to go there. You say if they continue to take dumb penalties and have breakdowns, whose fault is that?
Oh, it's the coaches and the players.
All right, well, you know what? They coach better.
That's the hope, right? That's the hope. We all hope that can happen.
I don't want more excuses of, we're cleaning it up or we're working things through. Like, this is a game that, I mean, this is a 3.5-point number. Right? This is a game that is almost, on a neutral field, a pick'em game. And again, I'm not saying you have to win this game, but get 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and have a chance. Don't do what was against Cincinnati or against Baltimore where you get into the fourth quarter and the game is over.
Well, the game against Cleveland was kind of over too, though, but whatever. No, I mean, those are things that I've heard this from the day I started playing. I don't care what the sport is, from any good coach, is always focus on what you can control. And stupid penalties, all that stuff you can control. And the Jets are making way too many of those plays. Way too many of those. Like, I don't care. Mr. Trubisky's not very good. That's fine. But, I mean, you could have thrown a touchdown pass to Ja'Marr Chase in the end zone.
Well, he was wide open, yeah.
Okay, so if you make I don't care how bad you think Mitch Trubisky is, if you make mistakes like that, you break down in coverage, Pittsburgh's got damn good wide receivers. They're good wide receivers.
And they have a good tight end. You're right.
And a good running back.
Pickens made that great catch. You have Deontay Johnson.
Catch.
Yeah, Claypool. Najee Harris, a good player, but their offensive line is not good.
No, so I need Carl Lawson to step up. I need Quinton Williams to step up. I need guys to step up.
Have the Jets led a game outside of taking the lead against Cleveland at the end?
No, I don't believe so.
So they never led against Baltimore and they never led against Cincinnati?
I'd have to go through my notes, but I don't think so.
I don't think so. How about take a lead in this game, right?
Yeah, don't get behind. Like, we keep hearing that as the excuse as to why they don't run the football. Well, we're chasing. We're chasing. Which is a bad excuse anyway. Yeah, I don't like that excuse.
It's a bad excuse. All right, we're there. It's the appropriate time. Let's play the music.
It's time to go around the league.
And around the league is brought to you by Jackpocket. All right, Rick, here we go. You ready?
No, they haven't led.
They haven't led the entirety of... So the only time they led this entire season was, 22 seconds against Cleveland?
When they won, yeah.
Wow. So 180 minutes, 20-whatever-something seconds of a lead.
Yeah, after they kicked the extra point to take the one-point lead, yeah.
Right, that's pretty remarkable. All right, I'll give you the spreads that I have them in front of me right now as well as we do these games so you can just have an idea of what you like. All right. We start. I like this. How do you feel about this? You get a little appetizer, little brunch with your football on Sunday morning. 9:30, Vikings at the Saints.
I like this as a little morning delight. Jameis Winston's all banged up.
He might not play in this game.
Yeah, he hasn't been practicing. Michael Thomas hasn't been practicing. Kamara's banged up.
Dalvin Cook sounds like he made it through a full practice yesterday.
Dalvin Cook's back. Yeah, it sounds like he's back. And their offense can be explosive. I would probably favor Minnesota.
I agree with that. And the number's only 2.5. So you can get the Vikings to really just kind of win this game, and you would win if that's the avenue you're interested in going. You know, it's funny. We got into this last week. The Falcons were last in the power rankings, and I was unsure how. They're not a bad team. Cleveland checks in at 2-1. Atlanta's 1-2. Browns only favored by a point in this game in Atlanta.
Yeah, this one is one of those spreads that's a little bit sketchy to me. I know you keep saying that about Atlanta, and they. I mean, listen, Cordarrelle Patterson. We talked about it last week. He's a problem,
and he might not play in this game.
Yes, and then Myles Garrett was just in the car accident. He's a little bit nicked up. I'm staying away from this game. I'm not going to dabble in this game, but I would think that Cleveland should win the game.
I agree with you. And you know what it is? Cleveland's rushing offense. And you know what? If you're the Jets, not that you run the ball like this, take a page out of Cleveland. They never abandon the running game, ever.
It's the strength of their team is the running game.
Well, you know what? Make it the strength of yours.
You got two good running backs. It's just the offensive line's a problem.
Run the football. The Commanders at the Cowboys. Dallas off that big win against the Giants on Monday night. Game back in Dallas. Cowboys only giving 3. That seems curious.
I like the Cowboys in this one.
Yeah, I would lean Cowboys as well.
Did you see what happened to Carson Wentz last week?
He got sacked 9 times.
9 times.
They had minus 1 yard of total offense when Philadelphia had 323 at one point.
I don't know. I just watched DeMarcus Lawrence do what he did against my Jets. And then on top of that, Micah Parsons. That defense is a good defense. And Cooper Rush, listen, say what you want. I don't think this is a quarterback controversy.
No, but he's been more than serviceable.
Exactly right.
I'm just hoping that Micah Parsons' cold is better this week so he does a little better. Seahawks at the Lions. Lions laying 4 at home over Seattle. I lean Lions in this game. Now, I know it looks like they're not going to have DeAndre Swift, and Amon-Ra St. Brown might not play as well, but the Lions team is, they fight, I'll tell you that. They fight.
Yeah, they fight, and they work hard, but I mean, you're talking about, I mean, two huge pieces of their offense. Like, Jamal Williams is a good running back, but he's not DeAndre Swift. And on top of that, if you lose St. Brown, I mean, St. Brown is a legitimate wide receiver.
Yes, but
he's the guy.
Mean, does Geno Smith scare you?
No, Geno Smith doesn't scare me, no. No, listen, I'm not saying I don't favor the Lions in this one.
How do you feel about me taking the Lions in a survivor pool?
I don't love it.
You don't love that?
I don't love that.
All right, because I have 2 teams left. I think one I'm going to go Packers. I was thinking about Lions with the other. Titans at the Colts. Titans kind of saved their season last week. Maybe the Colts did as well. Colts are giving 3.5 in this game on Sunday.
I may dabble with this game. I'm going to tell you right now, I may dabble.
And I don't even know which way you would go. I think, boy, I don't even know which way you'd go. I think you'd go Colts, but I'm very uncertain of where you would go there.
Did you realize that Jonathan Taylor just recently missed his first practice ever?
I did not.
Jonathan Taylor, I guess, from high school all the way through college till now, this point of his career, has missed. This is his first practice that he's actually missed.
But he's not, like, up for grabs in the game, right? He's
gonna I think he's going to play in the game, but he missed his first practice. I'm not going to tell you which way I'll lean, but
you lean strongly in one direction.
I'll be making a pick on this game. Correct.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting. Jaguars at the Eagles. Eagles have rolled. They rolled this past week. They rolled last week on Monday night against Minnesota. They rolled the opening week as well. But how good are the Jaguars? This could be their toughest test so far. Jacksonville's pretty good. Eagles giving 6.5 at home against Jacksonville.
Doug Peterson coming back to Philly too, huh?
He sure is.
The Eagles right now, top to bottom. I mean, you look at the talent. I mean, they have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL.
Wide receivers are terrific.
Jalen Hurts is, I mean, playing at a really high level. The addition of A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they got a good tight end. Defensive line is really good. Secondary's really good. I don't know.
They're a good team.
They're a good team. I don't know if this is... It doesn't feel like they're one of the teams that kind of starts to feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, starts reading, okay, you know, starts reading their press clippings, we're a really good team, and then takes Jacksonville lightly.
Yeah, I don't know that they do either. I think Jacksonville might be good, and I'm interested to see them match up against a pretty good team. Because say what you want, I know they're banged up and a complete mess. Chargers are a good football team, and they dismantled the Chargers last week.
I think Jacksonville's a good football team. I think they finally have a good coach. Their quarterback's playing really well. I mean, I think they're a good football. Their defense is good.
Is Jacksonville a playoff team in your mind?
In that division, you never know.
Yeah,
This is a good way to find out. This game would be a good way to find out what they really
That's
are.
That's what I said. This is a really good test. Bills-Ravens. This is a great game. Bills all banged up, giving 3 on the road in Baltimore.
This is a great... I mean, this is one of the most exciting games for me to watch this weekend. You got two quarterbacks that are right there as far as MVP conversation is concerned. Lamar Jackson is playing at a...
Out of his mind.
Like video game kind of numbers. The Bills, offensively, I look at this game and I say to myself, Bills' secondary is all banged up, right? That's obviously a problem.
Right.
But their offense, man. I mean, I know they didn't win the game against Miami. They went for almost 500 yards. And Baltimore's secondary has struggled. I don't know. Can they handle Josh Allen in that offense?
We'll find out. What would you say the amount of points either team needs to win this game?
I would say you probably need somewhere in the 30s to win this game.
Yeah. I was thinking 34 makes you feel pretty comfortable to win this game.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points.
I think that's what everyone's hoping for, right? Is a kind of a shootout.
I think we thought we were going to see that last night, and we didn't. Yeah, people love high-scoring games. Chargers-Texans. Chargers feel like they're teetering with the amount of injuries. Slater's done. Bosa is going to be done for quite a while. Herbert's not 100%. Sounds like Keenan Allen is going to play. Texans are, if nothing else, feisty. Can the Chargers save their season this week down in Houston?
I think they have to. I mean, this is a must-win for them. I don't think anyone had any kind of expectations for Houston. But Davis Mills is a better quarterback than anyone thought he was going to be, and they play hard.
Every single week.
Every single week they play hard.
If you're the Chargers, I think you have to win this game.
Yeah, what do you mean you think? You have to win this game.
If the Chargers lose this game, are they done?
I don't like their chance. Yeah, I don't like their chances.
I agree. A battle of 1-2s in the NFC. Cardinals, who I think are fortunate to be 1-2 against the Panthers, who could be 3-0, actually. Game down to Carolina, Panthers length 2.
I hate... The Panthers drive me crazy because it's like every week... Like, I looked at this game and I said, okay, I don't really love Arizona at all. Panthers are at home, but Christian McCaffrey's like he's always on the injury report,
and he's hurt again.
I don't like either of these teams.
I don't like either of these teams either. No. And everyone thought that maybe a change of scenery would make Baker Mayfield into a better quarterback. No, the answer to that is no.
No, I think he's fine. I think Baker Mayfield is fine.
He's
fine.
He's not good.
He's not what you draft.
He's not number one pick worthy. I'll tell you that. Patriots and Packers, no Mac Jones in Green Bay, 425. Isn't this just the kind of game that Bill Belichick would find a way to keep close?
Well, Green Bay doesn't score a lot of points. That's the thing, though. Green Bay's offense has not been explosive, to say the very least. I mean, it looked like, I know Tampa Bay's defense is good, and the first couple possessions of that game, you felt like, okay, you know, Green Bay's starting to figure it out, and then second half, they did nothing. Yeah, I mean, Bill Belichick is a defensive guy. What's the spread on this? 9.5?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of points. I think Green Bay's down. I mean, you said you're going to pick this for your survivor. Green Bay's going to win this game.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Yeah. This will be one of my survivor picks.
Green Bay will win, but...
Yes, 100%. Or 95%. Broncos-Raiders. I don't know if they're done, but if they don't win this week, they are done. Raiders 0-3, Broncos somehow sitting here at 2-1. Raiders slight favorites in this one, lane 2.5.
This is the definition of a must-win game.
In that division, you go 0-4, night-night.
Yeah, but forget the division. The conference, they're going 0-3. I mean, this is a team that expected with the additions that they made on defense, Davante Adams would be a playoff team. Even as hard as their division was, this would be a playoff team, and they're 0-3. Like, the percentages, even with the extra playoff team, if you start 0-3 or, like, I don't even know what the percentage, I think 4, minimal. Like, less than 5% chance, I think, that you make the playoffs.
And you start out 0-4, and you're, you're done.
Forget night-night.
Yeah, then you're done. So must win for the Raiders and two teams that never seem to like each other. Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Bucks laying 1. Now, last I heard, that game is going to be played in Tampa, correct?
Correct.
Chiefs kind of banged up. Buccaneers certainly banged up. Godwin practiced. They're not sure if he's going to play. Evans is back. Who do you like, Chiefs and Bucks? This is a good game on Sunday Night Football.
This is a great game.
Yeah, really good game.
This is a really good game. Who do I like in this game?
Mm-hmm.
Tampa's offense does not look good. Defense is great. Kansas City, awful loss. Awful, awful loss. Game they should have won. Chris Jones, stupid penalty. You got Kelsey dropping touchdowns. Fake field goals for who knows why. Ha. I'm not going to play this game just because Tom Brady scares the hell out of me, but I just think my mind is telling me that...
You lean Chiefs?
I lean Chiefs, yeah.
Monday Night Football. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this one now, but we'll run through it quickly. Rams at the Niners. Rams 2-1, Niners 1-2. San Fran has done well against L.A. Niners laying 1.5. Good game on ESPN Monday night.
A great game. San Francisco has no Trent Williams, and Jimmy Garoppolo looked horrendous last week. I know it was his first start of the season, really hasn't practiced much with the ones and everything else, but direct quote from RJ Santillo, humongous Niners fan, when I asked him about the game, is the Niners are starting parking cones on the offensive line.
Really? That's typically not a good sign.
Nah, that's not probably what you want, no.
No, unless you're looking to parallel park, otherwise not typically a great sign. That being said, I just might be getting involved.
I think you're going to dabble Rams for some reason.
You just might know me, or maybe you just don't. And there you have it.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. The DPetro and Rothenberg NFL pick segment, where Dave complains about the name.
That's really clever. Our week 4 NFL picks are brought to you by Pepsi. RJ, do you have the standings in front of you?
I do have the standings in front of me. So, Rick.
Burn them.
No.
I'm just going left.
Frame
them. Left to right. Rick is 2-7. Dave, 6-4, having Cincy in his back pocket already.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
2-7.
Ray is 5-4, and I am 5-5.
You're like the Pirates.
You're an idiot.
Plenty of time.
All right, great.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to back me in the corner. I'm going to have to be the cat.
No, I don't want you to be the cat. All right, I'm going to go first this week. I'm already 1-0. The Bengals in my back pocket, like RJ so eloquently said. Am I looking at the Bills laying 3? Is that accurate?
Bills minus 3.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills. I really like them in this game. I think they kind of have their way with the Ravens. I don't know that the Ravens defense can stop Buffalo. I put a 34-27 kind of game on the board here. I think Buffalo gets to 3-1 with a victory there. And my second and final pick of the week, because I already have, like you mentioned so eloquently, RJ, the Bengals as a winner. I'm going to take on Monday night your Niners. They're laying 1.5. They typically beat the Rams. I know the offensive line is an issue. The Rams have not looked great to me. I think something is missing. I thought the Niners played well for stretches last week. That was in Denver. Now they're home. I'll take the Niners, really only to win and lay the 1.5 points.
Wow. Yep. I don't hate those picks at all.
Hate them last week, and I did well as well. All right. What do you got?
What do I have? It's a great question. I could steal your picks, which would probably be the smart thing to do right now, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stick with the confidence I have inside. My first pick, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys, David. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to lay the 3 points. How do you like that?
I don't, but go ahead.
Okay, you're a jerk. For my second pick, I am going to take the Tennessee Titans plus 3.5 in Indy. Tennessee Titans plus 3.5 in Indy.
Okay.
And for my final pick, in the definition of a must-win game, I will take the Las Vegas Raiders at home and lay the 2.5.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. All right, yes. So there you have it. There's Rick's 3. RJ, you got one in the holster already. Where are you going with the other two?
As you so eloquently said. So Everyone,
very clever.
This is fun.
This is why I love you. Adore, really.
Everyone on the Eagles, best team in the NFC. I love the Jags. I love this team. Better yet, I love the Jags getting 6.5. I don't know if they win. I don't particularly care. But I'll take the 6.5 points in Jacksonville.
I care, so go Jaguars.
Garrett Wilson, you know, he'll convince you to like the Jets. He's a nice kid. I can't do that. I'm sorry. Pittsburgh, they're 0-6 without T.J. Watt. That is concerning. I need them to win, and I need them to win by at least 4 points. They're laying 3.5 to the Jets. Give me the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
And that's his picks. I forget you didn't have a third. And Raymond, what are your three?
Well, you guys mentioned earlier in the show that the Bears can't pass the ball for anything. I think the Giants come back off the win. They can run the ball. They've proven it. Maybe Daniel Jones gets a little bit more run. I will take the Giants.
Nice. Wow. And you're laying, what, the 3.5 there?
It's 3 now on mine.
Okay,
I've got
great.
3.
Beautiful.
So, similar reasons why I took the Cowboys last week. I'll take them again this week. They lead the league in sacks. Do you know which three teams have given up the most sacks this year? The Bengals, who they beat. The Giants, who they beat. Oh, and Washington, who they're about to play. So give me the Cowboys on that one, -3.
He's so confident now.
I love it. Makes me feel good.
I also feel a way, Dave, about the Bills. I do think that they will beat the Ravens in Baltimore this weekend. I think they will cover the 3, so give me Buffalo.
Wonderful. And then very quickly.
I feel like I should just talk over this.
It's the DNR Survivor Pool.
Plain and simple, I think they'll win. Not sure they'll cover 9.5, but, I mean, it's could be a trap game, but I like Green Bay versus the Patriots. Give me the Packers.
I don't know
how trap game.
How you couldn't like Green
it's
Bay
still,
against
it's
the Patriots.
It's still Bill Belichick. And if
all right, shut up.
Game,
I have to finish these reads.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.